Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Jacksonville. Welcome back to Smart Money live on this beautiful, little bit nippy Saturday morning. It's good to be here. So anyway, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. As the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you, that's area code 904.
And you know what? We haven't told anybody, but you can actually send us a question to our email address at smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. You know, we used to tell people that, and we used to get questions that way, and then it kind of, we forget to mention that.
I know.
So that's smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com.
And so did you know?
Did you know it is a bit of a switch to hear the GOP bragging about how much money they are spending at the IRS? The agency's budget will go up almost $200 million to $11.43 billion. There will be $320 million specifically dedicated to the implementation of the new tax cut law in order to change all of the forms, schedules, and internal systems to reflect those changes. But that's not it. $350 million will be directed to improve IRS customer service, which anyone who's called the IRS knows has definitely been suffering.
Yep. You know, there are the majority of the people that work at the IRS are really fine, upstanding Americans and really do honestly care about you and what happens and wants to be of help. It's the senior leadership is where you really have the problems, and many of them are as frustrated as we are with it. I'm just disappointed Trump has not been more aggressive in reorganizing the IRS. So, but anyway, you and I were talking, coming back from the break.
The volatility. So here's the one thing that I'll say. I think after coming off of a year like last year, everybody forgets that volatility is pretty actually normal in the market. So you want to take a guess, since 1976, intra-year declines in the S&P 500, what do you think they've averaged? Intra-year, meaning just during that year.
Yeah. I'm going to guess 12?
Not too bad. 14%.
14?
Now, here's the thing that I think is most surprising. I think people are looking at this saying possibly, hey, this year's not going to be good because look where we're at. Market keeps going down. We have all of this volatility. But if we look back since 1976, 31 of those 41 annual periods actually ended up positive, even though they had the average of 14% down intra-year.
And here's the other thing. This year, if anything, we've got a business climate and the fiscal standings of America's business, which I've not seen this written anywhere, but it's probably the strongest than it's ever been in America's history. Mike, you like to research stuff. Have you ever noticed? Do you have any feel for that?
Well, I know over the past prior 8 years, everyone was... kind of stacking up cash and stashing it away because they weren't sure what the business climate was going to be going forward. That in conjunction with the difference in America's tax rates versus internationally, you had a lot of cash outside the U.S. too.
Yeah. So, businesses, like you were saying, Mike, during this reign of terror of the Obama administration, now understand, it's important to know where we came from to see where we're at. Barack Obama was no man's fool. He wasn't. He wasn't stupid. He knew exactly what he was going to do. When he said, I'm going to fundamentally change America, folks, he wasn't blowing smoke. The only problem is we didn't understand what that really meant. His goal was to take America and make us a second world, third world type nation so that the proceeds could be redistributed to other poorer nations and that we would fall then under the UN control as a nation state. The Paris Peace Accord is a euphemism for UN Agenda 2030, which they believed so strongly and pushed so hard for. And it got its name because in the year 2030, it had 17 provisions. The UN is to assume dominion over the world. One of the provisions in the budget was, I forgot how many, I think it was billions of dollars were being allocated to the UN's environmental programs. The UN admitted in 2016 in three different international forums, this was led by Christine Figueres, who is the executive secretary in charge of the environmental programs of the UN, stated, I'm paraphrasing, but I'll be accurate, that the primary purpose of the UN's environmental programs had nothing to do with the environment at all. Same as Barack Obama, nothing to do with the environment. It was meant as a means of control so that they, in turn, could, this is the UN, destroy 150 plus years of the Industrial Revolution as well as capitalism. Now, that was what Obama did along with the tearing down the military, which also has to take place to be a second-rate nation. Now, during this entire period, American entrepreneurs, say what you will, but they got there to be good businessmen by making good decisions. And what they did was look at their operations. Anything that wasn't productive, branch, product, didn't matter, got rid of it. Scaled down. Paid down debt. And then, Mike, as you so accurately stated, started accumulating capital. And how about to the tune? So when Donald Trump comes in, they're sitting there with approximately $2.5 trillion domestically and at least that amount offshore. That's a lot of money. I mean, you can go on some pretty doggone good weekends with that. You can buy a lot of shoes, Michelle, with that and high-end stuff. So, but anyway, so they began there. And then with this, with the knowledge that Trump will think and react as a businessman. Folks, politician can come up with an idea, and it proves to be it's a terrible idea. Rather than ditching it, what do? They throw more money at it. A business person on the other side of the fence is going to look at it, and 4 months into it, if this is just not doing what they wanted it, they're going to can it and go in another direction. Now, they like to say that Trump is wishy-washy, he's a flip-flopper. No, he's a businessman. They think differently. So knowing that, knowing that Trump hated regulation, when Obama took office, regulatory costs was $880 billion. I mean, that's just what it cost in man hours to comply with various regulations that the government would lay on us. Well, when he left office, including the regulatory cost of of taxes, it was $2.9 trillion. So that's $2 trillion that was sucked out of the economy that could have been used for business expansion and growth. Trump comes in and he starts cutting those regulations. Now, granted, I think there's a lot more that could be done, but he at the same time is having to fight a Republican Congress, which is his greatest enemy. Why that? The Republicans have no right and power. I can tell you that right now. And I'm not making a lot of friends when I say it. They don't know how to use power. They simply don't. They run around like, damn, chickens with their heads cut off make more sense than what the Republicans are doing. So you're being awfully quiet over there.
When you get into all of that, I just let you stay in your glory.
Anyway, so businesses come in, and now they see all these opportunities. Regulations are being cut. Taxes are being cut magnificently, particularly for the business climate, which is going to produce benefits for all. And they start expanding. So with that in mind, and you now have a global recovery going on, a growth recovery. Folks, yeah, markets are going to be volatile, but there is nothing to run to the barn with and try to get out of the storm instead of be out there harvesting, because the opportunities will exist. Okay, I can't, dadgummit. We have to take another short information timeout. Folks, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It's 11:19. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
Included in the omnibus budget is a ban on funding for a group that no longer exists. Do you know what group I'm talking about and why they still have the ban included? Stay tuned in to learn more. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:24. Did you know
even though Acorn disbanded 8 years ago, Republicans still thought it was important to include language in order to prevent groups that look anything like Acorn or might turn out to be a progressive grassroots group that acts like Acorn, that they don't get any federal funding in the future?
Well, that's true, but Obama's community organization programs do get it.
I think the language in there is trying to stop that.
Well, maybe that may be true.
I don't know how successful they will be, but that's what the hopes are there.
Yeah, well, I don't know how successful they'll be in doing that, to be very candid with you. Okay, I'm going to try to get another caller in before we have to go on break. And Lee is a driver. Lee, we'll answer your call on the other side. Van, and this is a female Van. Vanessa, is that what it's short for?
No, it's Van.
Just okay. West Side, and should you get a 25 versus 30-year mortgage? What are you trying to do here, girl?
Okay. I'm getting ready to buy a home, and I want to use my VA. And so I'm debating whether to do a 15-year versus a 30-year. Now, I realize the payments are more if I do a 15-year mortgage, but I do put the max into my TSP. I put $1,800 a month. And so if I do the 15-year, I'm going to have to cut my TSP just in half. So my question is, which is better? And I know if I do a 15-year, I save on interest. So which is better? Should I cut my TSP in half and put that payment on the mortgage so I can have it paid off in 15 years versus 30.
Okay, Van, how old are you?
62.
5'2"? 6'2". 6'2". 6'2". Okay. Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
If I were you, I would take the 30-year, and here's why.
Okay.
I like to have back doors and flexibility.
Okay.
If you take the 15, you're locked into that, aren't you?
Yes.
If I take a 30-year, I can go ahead and pay at a 15-year amortization rate. But
okay.
If something comes up and it's not practical, then I can drop back to the 30-year payment. The downside to that is that you're paying more interest up front with the 30-year, because the payments go to the rear of the mortgage, not really to the front of the mortgage where the interest payments are. Versus if you do the 15-year, it's amortized down. So I like the flexibility. What's up?
Everybody's going to be really surprised by this, but I completely agree with you.
Whoa. Whoa.
Okay, so you would not want me to cut my TSP?
No.
Because I can afford it, but I just have to cut my TSP in half.
Well, and there's a few things. I completely agree with Hank said. I think you always want to give yourself the flexibility.
Uh-huh.
You can always go ahead and prepay if that's what you choose to do. The next part of that is if you are invested in the TSP and, you know, you have a somewhat diversified portfolio where you have some growth securities in there, chances are you can make more money in your investments than what you're going to be paying on your interest anyways.
Okay. Okay. All right, well, I'll probably just go with 30 years. Or maybe I may do 20 years.
No, you're not hearing what we're saying, Van. You want flexibility.
Okay.
You can take that 30-year, you can pay it at a 10-year amortization, a 15, a 20, whatever. But if something comes up, you're not locked into that 10-year, 15, or whatever. You can drop down to the lower payment of the 30 and not be penalized for doing it. You've got flexibility.
I mean, that's huge for people, I think. I mean, we can all sit here and say, yeah, I can do it now, but you don't know what's going to come up in your life. You don't know if there's going to be issues with a job or a family member, which are going to require resources from you. So you want that flexibility to be able to say, you know what, I can drop down to a lower amount and I'm not stuck having to cover this larger mortgage payment.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep my TSP the way it is, and I'm proud of myself that I'm able to do the max.
Great.
You know, according to IRS regulation. I heard y'all talking about IRS earlier.
Yep. Well, good for you.
Yes.
That's
I'm
great.
Very proud. I haven't always been able, but I'm at a point in my life where I'm making more money, and every time I get a raise, I always put it towards my TSP.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're being very responsible, Van. And
thank you.
And it will pay off.
Yep,
thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Lee, hang tight. The rest of you callers, please, we got to take an information timeout. We're going to bring you up to date. Fox National News, local weather and traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. Then we're right back to you and your questions. Lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And as the beautiful buff hardbody Mystic Minx will tell you, that's area code 904. Did you know?
Did you know while Trump did get funding for the border wall, he certainly could have received more. So how much did he get? Stick around to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:36. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. So call and call now. And as the Mystic Minx tells us in her radiant glory, that is area code 904. Becky, Lee, the rest of you guys and gals, hang tight. We got to do Did You Know?
Did you know Democrats had offered $25 billion for the wall in exchange for provisions allowing the Dreamers to stay in the U.S. and for money to get on a 12-year pathway to citizenship? For a variety of reasons, President Trump did not want to accept that kind of arrangement. Without the deal, President Trump winds up with $1.6 billion in money for border security, and the bill does have limitations on how those funds can be used.
No kidding. They can't hire any more ICE agents. Did you know they actually put in there a quota on how many detainees that ICE can actually keep?
Only brought to you by our U.S. government.
Yes. Just the insanity of this government and those elected officials just is mind-boggling to me. Listen, before we get to your callers, just let you know and give you a heads up. I'm not a nonprofit business. We're actually for profit. That's right. Madden Advisory is an independent, fee-only firm of certified financial planners who are RIAs, and we are fiduciaries, the highest standard of law that a firm can be held to.
I'm very proud of you. That sounds so much better than we have real jobs.
Yeah, after 43 years, come on. I can be have a little bit of a sense of humor. But anyway, we have no axe to grind with any products. We don't get kickbacks, free dinners, trips, trailing fees. We only get paid what you pay us. You make money, we make money. You lose money, we lose money. We sit on the same side of the table. We will provide a one-hour initial consultation to meet with you to determine what services, if any, will be appropriate for you. Here's something, and it's going to sound negative, and I don't mean it that way. Christ has blessed me and this and our company with more than I ever dreamt we would have. Truly, He has. But because of our positioning, the strength of our firm, we don't have to take everyone that comes through the door. We have the ability to say no. And when we say no, it's generally because it's not going to serve your best interest for us to come on.
And boy, people are not very happy when we say that.
You know, that's you would think they would be, well, gee, that's great. It's not that we don't want you. It's just that we don't think that that's going to be best for you. So we can truly serve you and your needs, and we love to do that. Do a lot of pro bono work. At least I do.
And we point people in the right direction if we can help them.
Oh, yeah. No one will ever leave without knowing what they should do and how to do it. So give us a call, 296-1127. That's 296-1127, area code 904. And we would be happy to meet with you for an hour. Look forward to it. Okay, let's get to Becky. Becky.
Yes.
As so many of the outside callers or stations will say, Pontevedra. Why in the heck they can't get Pontevedra, I don't know.
I don't know why either. Oh, my question is, I'm a 63-year-old widow, and I inherited my husband's IRA, of course.
God bless you. That's awful young today.
Yes, but unfortunately, he put it in a trust. I guess his attorney recommended that. And because of that, I have to take the RMDs based on his age instead of mine. And my question is, so the last 2 years I've had to take an RMD. Can I take, because it's coming from one IRA, and of course, when I take it out, I pay tax, can I put it into a Roth IRA? Is that legal?
Okay, Wizzo, she's chomping at the bit. Go, girl.
She is chomping. So, Becky, the real answer to the question is no, but there may be some workarounds that we have in this scenario. Can you tell me, are you working?
No, I retired early when my husband got ill.
All right. Well, you just shot us in the foot there.
No workaround.
No, I know that you can only, usually you have to have earned income to put into a Roth IRA.
You do have to have earned income.
From one IRA to another IRA, that might be doable.
It's not. And if you think about it, here's the reason. The reason the government forces the required minimum distribution is that because they want you to pay tax on that money. And so if they allowed you to go from one IRA and put it into another IRA, then, you know, I guess they kind of
force. You have to pay the taxes before you put it in.
That is true, but you're going to get tax deferred growth on there, and they're not willing to give you that.
And you don't have an RMD with the.
Correct. And you won't have an RMD on that. And so they're not trying to make it super easy for you. They want some tax money. Now, I do have something that you could potentially do if you would like to avoid paying taxes on that money. You could give your inherited IRA amount or any portion of it directly to charity. And then that is not counted as taxable income for you. So that's something for you to consider. You know, it's not going to be available for you to use. However, you do get the benefit of not having to pay taxes on it.
Well, that is because we are involved in several charities. And, of course, we deduct it from our taxes anyway. But sending that directly might be a good idea.
So sending it directly is going to keep it from showing up as taxable income for you. But at that point in time, you will not be able to use it as a deduction. Now, I think that will become more important for the 2018 tax year because the standard deduction has gone up to $24,000 for a married, $12,000 for an individual. So it
Closer
may...
Closer age.
Right. At 65.
Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah.
I thought that was
okay.
It. 65.
Yeah, I stand correct. You're right, 65.
Uh-huh. And so...
Well, that's a good idea.
So that may give you, you know, some tax savings without possibly being able to itemize this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You also should the opposite.
Itemize. I've got a real complicated thing.
The opposite holds true, though. She may want to take it because it would enable her to itemize. If that'll push you over that threshold of $12,000.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always have to itemize. Because we've got properties and things. So, but you answered my question, and I'm a little disappointed because I don't have a Roth, because I'm retired, there's no way that I can fund it.
No,
there's not, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Sure thing, Becky. God bless. Uh-huh. Great question.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Elizabeth, Southside. As opposed to this, what is a CGMA? A great gator.
How about chartered?
Magnificent animal.
How about chartered global management accountant?
Okay. Whoopie-doo.
Hank might be a little bit biased there.
All right. Let's go. Elizabeth?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. So where did you find out about this designation, the CGMA?
I saw it I was looking for certified financial planners, as you recommended, and he had this designation after his name also.
So this person is a CFP and a certified global...
Management accountant, CGMA.
CGMA.
Okay. I don't know if that is, Mike, was that an in-house form title at Merrill?
It's not, but I do know, you know, financial professionals in the investment realm are not the only ones that will pursue a CFP. This person is probably a certified accountant who also obtained a CFP to be able to provide some guidance.
Okay,
for their end-of-the-year clients.
So more from the CPA field,
mm-hmm.
then?
Exactly.
Okay. What is this person, Elizabeth, a CPA?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to what Mike was saying.
Okay.
I'll give you my thoughts and then have Michelle. Generally, the CPAs who have a CFP, the CFP is an afterthought to... their being a CPA. That doesn't mean they're not good CFPs. It's just that they generally have an accounting practice, and then the financial planning is on the side, and the asset management in turn is on the side. And they're not necessarily going to have the staff to back up the asset management. I can tell you right now, it takes a pretty complex staff if you're going to manage money in bulk for clients. So I would certainly want to get that clarified. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
I don't disagree with that. I don't necessarily know that this particular designation is going to bring a lot of a wealth of knowledge to help you as far as your investment decisions. I can tell you that I would look for any designation, because there's all kinds of them out there, all kinds of alphabet soup that I like to call it. I would just look into what does it take to actually get that designation, because I think that's going to help you to understand what designations you're looking for someone to have. Things that I would look for, a part of that, number one, how long does it take? You know, if it's really just one of these things that they pay a fee and there's not a lot of education requirements or there's not a lot of experience requirements or things like that, I don't necessarily know how beneficial that designation is.
Okay. So
I'd rather see them have CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst. I know that's what we look for in the firm. When we hire in that area, and Brian is our CFA. That's an entirely different discipline. It's a very, very rigorous program. And failure rate's very high in it. So I would be looking more for that. And then I would find out, too, if they are a fee-based firm, as well as being CPAs. Fee-based means I can charge you fees to do your planning, but I can also accept commissions in turn. And I can only tell you, Elizabeth, this is 43 years of experience. I have been on all sides of that issue. And the moment that you lay a commission on the table, it clouds the issue. Not only from the practitioner side, but also indirectly from you, the consumer, because I guarantee you in the back of your mind is sitting there this thought, why is this guy doing this? Is it really in my interest, or best interest, or his?
Elizabeth, do you know what kind of questions you want them to answer for you?
Well, actually, it's not something where we wanted someone to manage our money, okay? Just kind of look over what we've been doing, make any recommendations, let us know whether or not there's any additional paperwork we should have. Like, should we have a living revocable trust? Do we really need one? You know, items like that.
Because that's more in the CFP range realm.
And then an attorney.
Yeah, and then the attorney has got to be the ones that draft it. A CPA or CFP cannot do that.
Correct.
And then as far as, you know, looking over what you're doing, I suppose that would mean look at our portfolio and see if we're doing right. Is that
correct?
All right. You have to have someone who is trained in asset management. Not just trained how to look at investments, but also trained in asset management, and then has the diagnostic resources available to them to do that so they can make comparative analysis. I know that when we are doing an asset allocation for a client, one of the first things that we do once we determine their objectives by yield and risk you quantify by standard deviation, is take their present portfolio and do a detailed analysis of it and tell them, here's your yield, standard deviation, probability of loss, recovery time, yada, yada, yada. If you don't know where you're going, any road's going to take you there. So you really need to have a very clear picture of where you are right now, measured against what you want to accomplish again, by yield and standard deviation, that then allows a portfolio to be created that will give you those results with a 95% probability. Then you can measure your existing portfolio against alternatives and do it in a very intelligent manner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure thing. Great. Thank you, Elizabeth. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. That is me running over. Folks, we're going to take a short information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:52. Did you know?
Did you know President Trump wanted to limit transportation grants? Did Congress figure out a way to help him out on this one? Not only is it a no, Congress actually tripled the size of the grants. So what happened? Stay tuned in to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5. It is WOKV. It is 11:56. Did you know?
Did you know Trump's budget plan for 2019 was a proposal to eliminate Tiger grants for infrastructure, but instead of getting rid of that $500 million program, Congress actually increased it by $1 billion, tripling the size of those popular transportation grants.
Yeah. Listen, if you can contact us at the office, we'll be able to spend more time with you, or we can take the same call next week. Lee had 250 in stocks paying a dividend of $5,000, and should he keep reinvesting dividends? He's 1 year away from, I'm guessing, it's retirement. Well, the answer to that would be probably yes if you don't need it. And I am so grateful that you are here today and your charming, loving self. It was so wonderful to have you.
I thought you were looking at me for a second there.
Laying it on thick there.
Well, I am grateful you are here. Hey, folks, we've got to go. If nobody said they cared about you today, no, Michelle, the beautiful Mystic Minx, Mike, and Brian, wherever he might be, and I do. Always remember the special time that you're going to spend with your family, friends. It's an asset that's never found on any balance sheet anywhere, but it's one of the most valuable investments that you can make. Our American fighting men and women and their families, God bless you. Thank you for your sacrifices that allow us to live in a free country. Our first responders, our police officers, our EMTs, our firemen, God bless you and your families and your sacrifices, because you allow us to live in a safe city and know that we're protected when needed. To all, we wish you just a beautiful day today. Palm Sunday is coming right up, and this is a day that Christ Jesus gave us to rejoice in. He made the ultimate sacrifice for you, that you could live life eternally. How about you sacrificing just one day today for Him and try to live in providing and doing what would be an acknowledgement of His values. And teach your children that. You kneel before Christ, you stand and you salute your flag. Folks, God bless. We'll be with you next week.